Awesome. I can only imagine. The only thing I wish right now is that I was preaching on heaven. That would be absolutely awesome. Ain't God good today? God's got you. But still, you can get your Bible out. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, one of my all-time favorite verses, all-time favorite books of the Bible. When I got an internship program, they told us, you don't have time to stop and take notes. You don't have time to stop and do anything. We just need you to read your Bible. It will come to you when you need it. And in 8 months, we read 28 books and the Bible. And so we did all that in 8 months. And we also read three other books because we got our license and all of that. It was just very, I was reading at stoplights. I was reading on my breaks. I was reading everywhere because they gave you a daily schedule. And if you got off one day, you could get off 10 chapters in the book and get off on how many chapters in the Bible. So just read, 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 read. Not take notes, just read, read, read. And they would test you every month on what you read. And it was amazing how God did exactly what they said he was going to do. But when I got to the book of Samuel, I had read it all these times, but I had never sat down and read it from the beginning to the end like that. And then 2 Samuel from the beginning to the end. And at one time it was called the Four Books of Kings. But they divided it into 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. And one time it was Four Books of Kings. And as I read that, wow, did the New Testament come to life to me. It had never done that before. The New Testament came so alive to me. And so I challenge you today is sometime read the book of Samuel and the book of Kings and watch how God will bring the present day and the New Testament alive to you. We started this, initially it was going to be one sermon, as usual, one sermon, and I didn't see any way to make it just one point. Then this week, and I had no idea when I was doing this that my wife would be in the hospital with blood clots in her lungs. And so that's been some touch and go stuff, but she's doing really good now, so I thank God for that. She's still in the hospital, but she may be getting out today or tomorrow. And if I took a heart monitor off of her, thank God for that. So I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in that situation. But this, again, in all that was going on, came to life in a very powerful way. So we're going to do it today. 1 Samuel chapter 17, stand for the reading of the word. 1 Samuel 17.
David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me
and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. This said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I have come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take your head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air, to the wind, to wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and with the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in the bag and took this a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And the Philistines saw their champion was dead and they fled. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well on the throne. We know, God, that you got all this. We know, God, no matter what comes our way, no matter what things look like, you're there. If we're on this side, you're there. If we go to the other side, you're there. We know that you got it. And we trust you 100% to handle this. In the name of Jesus, we love you. And we praise your name. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You be seated. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And say, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Say it, I dare you, say it.
If you're not here after what I'm
here. Amen, amen, amen. I was looking for something to start off with, kind of, you know, a little comical, and I actually thought I'd get, you know, y'all have heard of bad dad jokes, right? If you're a dad, you tell them. Well, I just thought, just in case some of y'all have not heard any of the bad dad jokes, I'd light you up with a few. You may tell me to burn the book. That's okay. I found about 150 of them, so I'm only going to give you about five today so I can go on all day. Really? Why don't eggs tell jokes? Because they crack each other up.
Yes.
Okay? I'm reading a book on anti-gravity. It's impossible to put down. I would tell y'all a construction joke, but I'm still working on it. I told you it's a bad dad joke. I used to play the piano by ear, but now I use my hands. Okay. I had a feeling about that one. What do you get when you cross a snowman and a vampire? Frostbite. I told you they were bad dad jokes. One more, I'll leave alone. I am so good at sleeping. I'm so good I can do it with my eyes closed.
Man.
Ain't going good. I'm done. All right, lessons learned from a rock fight, part two. We'll get a little bit further than that. A couple slides from last week, and we're going on in to the next thing. There's five there. There's some lessons that he learned. But let's go through it real quick. Like, remember David and Goliath and the story. David was a little shepherd boy, about 17 years old. And when the whole army of Israel would not go and stand against this Goliath, this giant one-on-one, David, who come along not to fight, but come along to provide food, bread for his brothers, but now he's a type of Christ. He's the bread of life. He's come to provide bread. But not only did he provide bread, he also took on Satan. Because man could not take on Satan. So he took him on. So again, we're going to talk about not David and Goliath from David's viewpoint, but we're going to talk about it from Goliath's viewpoint. So first, again, real quick, like from a couple of last week, this is another day in the office for Goliath. Goliath himself, the word go because toward the end of this, I really want to show a revelation that's going to just blow your mind. But Goliath, the beheader, he would actually, after he got his victims, he would cut their head off and he would take their head and he would parade it around and he would show it. Not only was he the beheader, but he was the gap standard. He was the guy they always put up front. So instead of having a whole bunch of people engaged in battle, two guys, one-on-one, winner take all, he was their gap standard. And he challenged them for 40 days and 40 nights, and they had not answered him. This is all typical warfare for Goliath. This is the same warfare he's still doing today, because look what he did. He actually, he had beheaded Israel without a fight. Okay? They hadn't even raised a sword yet. They were scared to death of this man because he was so powerful and had won so many battles. Many people in here, even here today, there's times where Satan has defeated you and he never raised a hand. He never raised a sword. All he had to do was talk the good talk and we would back down from him. But then he met this little shepherd boy and now his perspective is about to change. True, the battle is gigantic, but if King David taught us anything, is when God is involved, giants do fall. Here's from last week, and then we get ready to jump into the fresh stuff. There's five things that Goliath did to bring his defeat, okay? His defeat by David, the shepherd boy. He had five misconceptions, and he's still using them today because they work. Didn't work with David, but I promise you, I know they've worked on me before. And there's times when they're coming at me, they work on me now. I got to stop and I got to think about it before I go off the deep end and go, wait a minute. This is the same stuff he tried with David. It's not going to work. So here it is. We must not ever allow these things to affect us on our spiritual battlefields. Now, it does happen. So it's very important that we learn this in our battles and know what's going on. So the very first one we talked about last week, I love this. It's not the size of the dog in the fight, but it's the size of the fight in the dog. Was he judged the outcome by the size of his opponent. When he saw David, he disdained him. He disqualified him because he was a child. Here is a seasoned, a veteran of warfare. Here's a man that's fought many, many battles as a champion, one-on-one. Not only that, but he'd been in the battlefield so many times. He was seasoned. He knew what he was doing, and here comes this little 15, 16, 17-year-old shepherd boy. Goliath was insulted. They sent a boy. And because they sent a boy instead of a mighty warrior, he's insulted. And so he begins to pick on him about his size. He laughs at him. He mocks at him, and he's already determined that he is the winner. It's going to be a quick and easy victory. He can take that little boy out. But man, oh man, did he make a big mistake. Remember this when you're in your battle. Remember this. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Let's look at the Amplified version of this. So well pleased with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for the sake of Christ. For when I'm weak in human strength, then I'm strong, truly able, truly powerful, truly drawing strength from God. So first, he looked at his size and said, there's no way you can fight me. How many in here, you don't have to raise your hand, you've heard it year after year, maybe you've heard it lately, you ain't got what it takes. This is Satan talking to you. You ain't got what it takes to fight what I got coming at you. You can't win. There's no way. I've got you. Just won't give up. Number two, he didn't respect David's weapon. David had five smooth stones and a sling. He had no idea what he was up against. Again, Goliath saw the sling and said, he ain't even worth my time. I've got an armor bearer before me. I've got a sword. I've got a shield. I've got a spear. And this little fella's coming up against me. And he looked primitive. He looked harmless. helps you any way he can, whatever way he can. He will use people in the church. He'll use your own family members, and they're not even realize it. He will use your own mind against you. A lot of times when you're hearing yourself, talking yourself down, let me tell you something. Satan will talk you down, but if it's in your mind, he's using your voice to talk you down. This was his downfall. He didn't understand that David was a master of the sling. Back in that day, in the book of Judges, chapter 20, 16, it talks about some of the mighty warriors of that day. And it specifically draws out 700 special forces. 700 men, they were special forces. The wild thing about it is they were all left-handed. Not only were they left-handed, the Bible said that they could split a hair with a sling. Can you imagine having a rock and slinging that rock and splitting a hair? Wow, that's awesome. So, here's David. Look, the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the strategies of the devil. Let's keep on going. I want to read this. I don't know how many times I'm going to read it, but I want you to get this in your spirit. There is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God or counterclaimed by Satan. Wow, I'll read that again. That's powerful. First time I saw that, it took my breath. There's no neutral ground. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God or counterclaimed by Satan. Don't think there's a time where you can just sit back and relax and know that there's no battle. I promise you, there's a battle for you every day of your life. And when you least feel it, the least amount, you feel it. It's usually when Satan's coming at you the most. And by the time it catches up, like yesterday when they fired those missiles from Iran, the very first missiles, it took about 2 hours for them to get there. So they knew they were coming. They weren't ballistic missiles. They weren't the Tomahawks. They were drones. And the very first ones that were sent there, I don't know, 100 or so, it took them 2 hours to get there. Can you imagine if Israel had not known what was coming? Those guys fired them. In 2 hours, they had time to prep and time to get ready. But they had their missile shields. They had David's sling. That's what it's called, David's sling. They could take down planes. They could take down stuff. They had all kinds of the arrow. They had all kinds of missile defenses. But for 2 hours, I wonder if some people said, I don't think it's ever going to happen. I wonder if it's even going to be here. But when it got there, wow, Samuel in here. I didn't even know it. But Satan has plans to attack you. And just like those drones, he's already fired them. When the time is right, it's going to hit. So it's always good to keep your mind in the game and know there's no neutral ground. Now once they did the other stuff, that was instant. But at first when they sinned, wow, talk about a sneak attack. Listen carefully, please, please listen carefully. One of our biggest dangers, y'all look and say, me. He's talking to me. Y'all say, he's talking to me. This say, he's talking to you. We're not talking to Satan now, I'm talking to you. One of our biggest dangers in this last day, I see it all the time. I've had people call me up and say, can you talk to me? I said, sure. Can I meet you somewhere? Sure. And I get with them and I start talking to them. And I find out what their problem is, and we're talking over their problem. And I start putting the Bible in it. And some of them, I've had them say, I'm not here for any Bible thumping. I said, there's no counseling without the Bible. It's impossible. They go, yeah, but I want you just to tell me what to do. Don't tell me the Bible. One of our biggest weapons is when we look at God's weapons that He's given us, first off, we look at His weapons without respect. We think you're ineffective, or we think you're outdated. It blows me away when somebody's in such a hurry. Help me fix my marriage. Help me with my children. Help me on my job. And everything's fine until you start talking about the Bible. And they go, I don't want that stuff. That stuff's old. It was written so many years ago, it don't even count anymore. One of our biggest dangers is when we do just like Goliath. And we lose respect for God's weapons that He's given us. We need to always hold that Bible. It's not out of date. It's perfect. It's perfect in time. It's a book that transcends all eternity. It's always right there, no matter what year, no matter what date, no matter what century. The Bible has always been very clear and helps out no matter what your problem is. Don't lose your respect for the cross. Don't lose your respect for His Word. Sometimes we lose our regard for it. We just won't use it. It's not because we think it's outdated, but sometimes we're just biblically illiterate. We don't know what the Bible says about something. That's why you get a counselor, a pastor, or somebody, a friend that knows the Word. You get with them and they can take the Word and break it down for your situation. But sometimes people don't use the weapons because they don't really know how to use them. Or they don't think they're good enough to use those weapons. Wow. When you're up against your Goliath, I want you to think about that. Matter of fact, if you take the notes, write that down. That's very powerful. I love this. Look, it's a guy saying he's trying to tread water and says, you're crazy. How do you think that cross can save you? And it shows he's standing on the submarine, the power of the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. And you respect the opponent's weapon. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, but God had chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Let's just stop and break that down a little bit. God chose the foolish things. In the Greek is moronos, where we get the word moron. God has chose the absurd, the dull, the moron, to confound the wise. Wow. The simple things. You remember me telling you many moons ago, I told you about when DC was about 16 months old. It was a Monday night. The only time we got gospel music, it was on Monday nights. They're playing gospel music time. I'm on third shift. I got the third shift Eels. And I'm sitting on the floor. Barry's on one side. I'm on the other. DC's in the middle. And while gospel music time's on, we start arguing. We're going at it. I mean, we are going at it. Gospel music playing. Even raising my hand and arguing with my wife. Glory to God. You know, you may be mad. Glory to God, I wish you would just walk away. Glory to God, I think I'd just walk away. Glory to God. And while we're fussing, DC at 16 months old just stood up. I said, what are you doing, son? And he stood in between me and his mom. And he grabbed my hand, and he grabbed his mama's hand, and he put them together and said, let's pray. Wow. The weak things, the small things, God used to pierce my heart. So, He Shows the foolish who confound the wise. That's the skilled. The learned is where we get the word for wisdom. Sophia, where we get the word for wisdom. God chose the moron or the moronic things to take care of those that have so much wisdom. And chose the weak things, the feeble, the things without strength, to confound the mighty, the powerful, the strong in body, and the strong in mind. Are you ready for God to use you? I love that. Walter, you're doing good, buddy. That's a little war cry. I love that war cry. Let it rip, bro. Let it rip. But in fact, it'd be happy if all y'all started making some noise in here.
Walter. Amen.
Go ahead, little Walter. Let it rip, Tater Chip. Oh, I found a new button. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity in the obedience to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5. I love it. Get ready to break them down again. For the weapons of our warfare. That's our sword, our shield, our armor. You see in Ephesians 6 where all this is at. Helps us in our warfare. That warfare strategy. You know, Satan's already trying to figure you out. He's following you. He's got, don't get scared, but he's got demons assigned to you. Keeping up with you. Writing it down because Satan's not all-knowing. And so because he's got them watching you, he's got his secret agents out there. He's got his private eyes out there watching you. So he knows just what it's going to take you down. He's watching it, and he puts it out there for you. And it says, the weapons of warfare are not carnal. Meaning it doesn't have your, it does not pertain to your flesh or your fleshly appetites, but it is mighty through God for the pulling down, the demolishing, or the tearing down of strongholds. Anything that Satan is building against you, God has got this. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says we're not ignorant of his devices. I love it. Over here again. Ready? I love it. Ready? I found some more buttons. I've been playing with them. Ready? Yeah, when you sit in the hospital and try to work on stuff, you say, oh, that's a button. Let me try this little button here. I got, there it goes. And Linda said, whoa, what is that? I said, that's that little button right there. She said, that's cool. Now I want y'all to watch this. This is a poster. I don't know if you've ever seen this poster anywhere. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. Pray for the persecuted church. Now watch this. Get ready. This poster has been declared illegal. Wow. 51 countries. One came up since this morning. 51 countries. Illegal. You can be persecuted. You can be jailed. You can even be sentenced to death for displaying this poster in some countries now. Now, y'all say now. Now. Not 10 years ago. Now. Why is the world so afraid of the cross? Why do they hate the cross? What is it about the cross that tears people up? You can put all kinds of
of other things up. You can put up Buddha, you can put up Muslim things, you can put up all kinds of things, you know, whatever kind of disease, I mean, whatever kind of emblem you can think of, but you cannot put up Christian stuff and you cannot put up that cross. Just because all that other stuff is harmless. This drives the devil crazy. And those that he's fooled into thinking they're doing good with their religious ways. I remember years ago, I was at Baptist Church of God, and all the ministers, the Christian Church, the Methodist Church, the Church of Christ, all of us, there's like five of us, we got together every Monday for Bible study. And we had a lot of stuff for all the churches at the same time. We prayed for Desert Storm when it started. We thanked God. We gathered to thank God when it ended. We used to get together and have revivals amongst all of us. And every Easter, we would meet on, I can't think of the exact name of it, but the point down in Bath. And on Good Friday, we would carry a cross all through Bath to the Stations of the Cross. And then we would plant it at the point. And we'd drape it in purple. And on Sunday morning, at sunrise, we would drape it in white. And all the community would gather together for a sunrise service. And it would last a couple of hours. All the churches were involved. And I remember one day, we were trying to figure out how the service was going to be. Who was going to do the preaching? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? How are we going to make everything work? And one of the season, at this time, I'm only 30. All these other guys are 50 and 60 years old. I'm 30. And one of the guys said, you know what? I think for our singing this Easter, we shouldn't sing anything about the blood. It's disgusting. It's hard. It's horrible. I don't think we need to sing anything about the cross or the blood. This is an Easter sunrise service. And as he's talking, some of the other guys say, you know, you're right, it is disgusting and it is horrible. And it gets on people's nerves and scares children. I agree, we don't need to talk about the cross, we don't need to talk about the blood. And here I was, these are my elders. And I was trying to hold it in, but I couldn't. I stood up in the middle of those guys, and I told them, I said, why do you think we're all here? We're here because of the cross. Why do you think we're all saved? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ shed on that cross. And why do you think we have Easter? How can you have Easter without the blood and without the cross? I don't know where y'all coming from. And that guy that said that to me said, calm down. Calm down. He said, y'all leave the blood in there, okay? Not only is it offensive to the devil, it's even offensive to some other religious folk. Because it's the power that gives us power. Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. When he said it is finished on that cross, it was finished. There's a reason. We can all get rid of it. Give each other therapy. God has selected for his purpose the foolish things in the world to shame the wise, revealing their ignorance. And God has selected for his purpose the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, revealing their frailty. 1 Corinthians 1:27, Amplified Version. So, we're going to practice right now. How many in here, I want you to think about it. How many in here lately have been around somebody to try to shame you for being a Christian? Or try to belittle you for being a Christian? Or try to downplay Jesus? I know I've heard it. I've heard heard it lately, multiple times. They say it's foolish. Yes, and God chose this foolishness to confound the wise. So here's what you do. You felt foolish. Get ready. I want you to tell yourself multiple times a day. Y'all do this with me. Say this. God desires to use me. Say it.
God desires to use me.
One more time.
God desires to use me.
Get ready. Especially with all my faults.
Especially with all my faults.
There's where Satan gets you. There's where it pops you good. I mighty army one day this week. If I can pull up mighty army from one day this week. Let's see here. Let's get it going here. There it is. Yesterday, God is not surprised by your inabilities, your imperfections, or your faults. He has always known everything about you. Things you're just now finding out. And He chose you on purpose for Himself. Anyway. Wow. This morning was, if you think the setback you have gone through was big, wait till you see your comeback. God wants to use your weakness to help somebody else see that no matter how bad it may seem, God can use your weakness to shame the wise. That day, that night, me and Beverly arguing in this old D.C., that little defense of the 16-month-old, grabbing our hands and hollering, "Let's pray." And he meant business, too, because when we started praying, he held our hands and he held his head up, and he put his hand up and started praying. Try this again. Ready? Tell yourself multiple times. Say, ready? God desires to use me, especially with all my faults. God wants to use our weaknesses to shame the wise. I should have put our weaknesses. God wants to use our weaknesses to shame the wise. That button, I love that button. Your assignment this week is to beat the devil with that big ugly stick. If David was here, you know what he'd tell you? Rock on. Amen. Rock on. We had to put it in there. Rock on. Everybody stand up. DC, come play something. We'll try to finish this up next week. About that meeting we had that day where they were trying to take the blood out and take the cross out of the Easter service. And I think until that day, because I was 30 and they were 50 and 60 and on, that I would just sit there and be quiet and go, "Yes, sir, no, sir, that's what we're going to do." But from that time on, well, they were never going to do something. They would look over at me and go, "What do you think?" No. What do you think? Because once I stood up, I mean stood up for God in that meeting, it changed everything. You're going to find out that when you take that ugly stick, beside the ugly stick to get through life. But with God's help, we take the ugly stick and we will beat the devil. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
I know that life isn't easy. I know there's all kinds of surprises that we have to face every day. We never know from one day to the next what we may have to face. But I've learned I don't have to fear tomorrow because I'm holding the hand that's already in tomorrow. He says everything's going to be all right. There may be some pain. There may be some issues. There may be some challenges. Do not underestimate the power of the weapons that God has given at our disposal. Maybe coming up shortly, I'll do the armor of God. I might just do that. It'll take a good while to get through it, but I might just do the armor of God. But right now, trust that God's got this. He's got it all under control. He's got it all taken care of. And we can thank Him for it. Because God's got this.
Invalid.
disciples with. When you start talking about the cross and you start talking about the blood, it makes a lot of stuff people stand on invalid, and they hate it. Or it makes them have to size themselves up against God, not against you. Maybe against you they feel very big, but up against God they feel very small. They don't like it. If you're here today, you're in a battle. Maybe you haven't been tempted to lay down God's weapons and pick up your own, because you see it's not working quite like you're expecting at the time. And you need God to help you redirect your focus to the right weapons to use. But you're in that battle and you need God's help while nobody's looking around. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Would you put that hand up? I'm needing God to help me. Touch him, Lord. Touch him, touch him. I need God to help me, but I need your direction. I need your guidance, God. Help me to do and say what is right, and I thank you for it, God. Y'all pray with me, all right? Father, I love you. I rededicate my life to you today. You can never do that too much, God. I'm giving it to you now. Say it. I'm giving it to you now. And I thank you, God, for giving me wisdom to know how to hold your weapons. Help me, God, to never lay down the cross. Help me to never quit talking about the blood. Help me to never leave you out of my life. Use me, God, in a very powerful way. I give this day to you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We're trying to finish this up next week, but in the next week or so, at the very end, it's going to be probably, to me, it's one of the most powerful things I've ever studied. And so I want to do it at Easter, but I didn't. I waited until after Easter. But still, it's going to be some amazing thing about the cross. Right now, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. When we get through, I want Brother Doug to dismiss us in prayer. Let's say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your message, for your word and spirit and truth. Father, I thank you that you are strong and that we don't have to be strong. We find our strength in you. Lord, we thank you that you are all wise, that we do not have to understand everything, but that we would seek your wisdom in spirit and in truth. Father, go with us this day and every day. We would let our light shine for you. We would share your gospel with all those we come in contact with, even if we have to say a word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.